Blog Talk Radio.
We are back. Yes, indeed, we're back again for another episode, another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Denim Yah, Covenant Remembrance Ministries, welcoming you to the show. And indeed, I thank the Most High. Yes, I surely thank the Most High for every ear that He brings near. The Most High has told me, yes, indeed. He has told me that I have for Him some very important things for Him to do. And He told me that because of what I must do, that I would surely accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. Dare say the words I'm going to talk about tonight, we'll find out which one a lot of people are. Hey, Saul, for the glory of Yah, for the truth be known. The Most High told me that I have for Him some very important things for Him to do. Yes, indeed, and He told me that because of what I must do, I would accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But He told me that in doing for Him that which He has asked of me, I would have His protection and His guidance. And for that, my brothers and sisters, I am utmost thankful. The Most High has told me, yes, indeed, He has told me, that I must tell you things. that men have done everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence. And my brothers and sisters, yes, if they could, to destroy. But the promise of the Most High is surely that we will one day fully recognize our obligation unto the Holy Name. The Most High has said to us, yes, indeed, that the secret things belong to Him. Yes, the secret things belong to the Most High. But those things which He has revealed belong to us, and they belong to our children. An obligation that we seek the full preservation of all these things, even that we recognize Yah, like-mindedness, one mind, one understanding, no strife and division among us. It is our obligation. Saying all those things which Yah has revealed, we seek to preserve them. And this is a mandate to us and to our children forever. And it is already prophesied that in the last day, yes, surely, in the last day, at the end of this age, it is prophesied, my brothers and sisters, that all, that as a people we have forgotten, will surely be called to our remembrance. That, my brothers and sisters, is an utmost, even awesome, most awesome blessing. Messiah comes for the remembrance and the restoration, restitution of all things, according to all the Most High has spoken since world began. I dare say to you, my brothers and sisters, that if we are to be true to the Holy Name, cannot speak after any manner of partiality. I said no manner of partiality after any man. But in all things, my brothers and sisters, unto Yah, we must be true. It's the only way, only way that we be manifest as a people made one unto the Most High, that He counts worthy to be a light, that He counts worthy to call a light to this world. Let us be wise, my brothers and sisters, to understand. Now, I might have a few things to say tonight that some might count quite harsh. But the truth, my brothers and sisters, is and always will be what can set us free. Not a lie nor a liar, because all the lies that men have told, my brothers and sisters, have been what has divided this world. Divided this world. After so much self-righteousness and so much pride, whereby men have sought to exalt illusion against the wisdom of Yah. Blessed are they who will understand when the word of truth is spoken. Whenever the word of truth is spoken, whenever a higher perception is granted, they have an obligation to seek it. This we must do. We be a proper example to our brothers. At the Most High, my brothers and sisters, true to His name, be praised. I can only say this, my brothers and sisters, it's after a worldly misexample that many have never discerned that it is damnable offense to confess the Holy Name, not seeking all truth, that all be led under one mind in the name of the Most High. We're going to get to some scriptures tonight to speak about that. I want to talk about the idea, my brothers and sisters, there's no question about it, that a whole world is at war because the rulers have made it their avocation, made it their job to comfort the people to trust in fallen standards, blinding standards that will never seek to relate the whole truth. And in fact, we're brothers and sisters in so doing, and I want you to, so doing this, I want you to consider something. Oftentimes in scripture, when the word there is for kings, sometimes it's translated as gods, sometimes translated as gods, sometimes it's translated as kings. Well, the standards that men uphold, my brothers and sisters, that men believe, are in fact in so many ways rulers, standards, gods to them. What then are these rulers who tell you that you are complete because you're subject to standards after the so oftentimes shallowness of their weak and short-sighted vision? Yes, we have a lot to talk about tonight, my brothers and sisters. We have a lot to talk about. I want you to think about this fact. The fact is, and I'm leading off with some things that I said on last evening's show that I put up a couple nights ago. And I dare say that some things have been hitting me pretty strongly that I've been looking at as how all to relate it, and relate it perhaps concisely. I know a lot of times there's a lot, so much information I seek to relate on this show that sometimes I might have to jump the gun a little bit and relate a lot of points well before they are, let's say, fundamentally developed in the midst of the conversation. Some, therefore, might not quite understand why I say what I say. But I found the need to take all these ideas and set them in order prayerfully with the help of the Holy Spirit, and we'll discern the wisdom, the foundation, how interwoven are the precepts that will be spoken, Yah willing, this night. On last evening's show, one of the things I wanted to relate to everyone is this. Over and over again, the scriptures relate that the end of misrule is the beginning of global peace. Remember the scriptures talked about that great earthquake at that city? And because the truth is known, that's really what it's talking about. Truth is finally known among all the nations. Scripture says the cities of the nations will fall. How about the idea that these other cities of which they speak of course we know Messiah will appear at a particular city, and the proximity of exactly where it is and what all it's about and its name actually is in Scripture. Those of you who have been listening to my show on a regular basis, Secret City Prophecies, you know what I'm talking about. HiddenGospel.com, Secret City, some city prophecy. Don't know what I'm talking about. There's a reason why I put that map up in the opening appearance of the show. I want you to think about it. I want you to examine those things closely. The truth of the matter is that when the scripture says the cities of the nations fell, it means that all the variant social coalescences, political, economic, pseudo-religious systems of the earth, when men finally understand that they are all faulty, all upon faulty foundation. The scripture says all such systems upon faulty foundation that after the work of false prophets, let's just say false and fallen testimonies of the rulers, where if a prophet is sometimes also testimony. All such false testimonies and false expectation, faulty foundation. Messiah said many would think that they had been in allegiance to these things and preached after these things in his name. He would say, keep away from me, I never knew you, whose works are iniquity. How about false righteousness, inequity? What about the idea, my brothers and sisters, that Messiah was saying no fallen standard is the work of his spirit? What about the idea, my brothers and sisters, that when the whole world realizes that none of these standards, none of the fallen standards of men will enter into the kingdom of Yah, none of the fallen standards of men will be found worthy unto that kingdom. Whoever went into that kingdom must follow the Lamb wherever he leads. And again, I told you, the scriptures say Messiah will come in Shiloh, that unto him all nations should gather, because he declares a restoration, a restitution, a refreshing bringing again to mind of all things that men have not considered. But my brothers and sisters, I can only say woe to those who confess the holy name, but would resist discerning where they are lacking, that they can only establish a multitude of damning curses to divide the people. Did you hear what I said? That only create a multitude of damning curses to divide the people, because they choose to exalt what seems wise in their own eyes rather than asking the Most High what more needs to be discerned. The promise of the Spirit, the promise of the Holy Spirit, what is it? The Holy Spirit seeks to teach all things, no lie in it. Got a lot to talk about tonight. That means you petition the Most High for His Spirit that you discern wherein you have lacked. What does that scripture talk about in Yohanan 3? Those who would do good works will come to the light, that their works might be discerned, that they are wrought. How about after the inspiration, the work of Yah? The workmanship of Yah. Those who would do evil works hate the light, the greater light, because they would not have their works reproved that they are evil. What did Messiah say in Yohanan 7:7? John 7:7? He said, the world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I testify that his works, in other words, all the result of all that it teaches and does, in its pluralities, in its contentions, seeking to appease men, has been evil, unacceptable, not the work of the Holy Spirit, not the result of men being led completely in all things by Yah. Well, I can only say if men have sought in the gift of the Holy Spirit that teaches all things, brings all things to remembrance, Yohanan 14:26, seeking beyond all worldly debate and doubt, if men have sought with diligence worthy unto the holy name, there would not have been so many generations lost after false religion and the false standards, so far from the truth of the gospel. Gospel is the whole pure, perfect word. When you talk about that, you say, go forth and teach all nations everything. After the Holy Spirit, men were anointed to do what? Go forth and teach everything. Okay, you receive the Holy Spirit and you seek not to do that? Well, that's treacherous. Scripture says, Most High will not find favor on men such as this. His soul will not have delight in them. The Shema declares not only that we hear, but also that we seek to discern perfectly, and that we declare a fullness of a word that all Israel recognize Yah as one. I can only say this, and it's a tough word to consider, but its truth is what it is. How about Revelation? 16th chapter, 12th to 21st verse that we talked about. Talking about that word that's going to cause the cities of the nation to fall. In other words, all recognize the vanity of the worldliness they have trusted, causing the cities of even ruthless, undisciplined nations to worship Yah. Messiah come with a sharp two-edged sword, a full word of pure and perfect truth to judge all the nations, smite the nations. For righteousness' sake, he judges and makes war. In other words, declare the pure, perfect word that all acknowledging the same and revering the same ultimate truth might have peace. And believe, my brothers and sisters, no warfare is just but that which would eradicate whatever is negative against the peace. I want you to understand that, because warfare is vain if only at the end, if at the end of the day all that it results is that men are still contentious one against another, not discerning what indeed is the wisdom of Yah. So Messiah comes to perform a task that men all recognize one supreme righteousness that restores men unto the will of the One Most High, no longer calling men unto allegiances to that which only causes them to sell their souls to devils. Yes, you heard me. Sell their souls to devils. Many have done it, never realizing that when Scripture talks about the mark of the beast and said the beast was given power to deceive, how about by the deceiver who deceived the whole world? So men giving their allegiances over to fallen standards, devious standards, what else is it? Yeah, we got a lot to talk about tonight. Consider this, my brothers and sisters. In the book of Numbers, it talks about Edom being the possession of Messiah and his appearing, the one called Shiloh. You ever stop to consider that Edom is not only all those who hate the Holy Covenant or who would dissuade the people of the Most High not to discern the promised land or the way of peace that they may be found worthy, steadfast under Yah? Hey, how about conforming as one unto the will of Yah, if there might be a land of peace? Edom is not only those people, my brothers and sisters, that would dissuade the people of the Most High to turn against and deny the righteousness of Yah. Edom, my brothers and sisters, is also those who would deny what is necessary to bring forth the kingdom of Yah. Edom is the people then who would deny automatically the kinds of things, the type of testimony we see in Revelation 16. This testimony concerning how Messiah must come to prove foolish the wisdom of all the rulers. The testimony, my brothers and sisters, that relates that he would come to seek to prepare people for that day of judgment. I said, yes, Messiah himself. So he's going to prepare people for that day of judgment before he must claim at the Father's hand the heirship and the prize that will deliver his people. Oh, yeah, I know. A lot of folks don't know about that either. Zephaniah 3, 1 through 5. Reading out the 13th verse talks about Messiah, the city first, to approve the people that are there. Well, part of the confusion that has misled all the nations. That's not the only place that's talking about that scenario spoken of. That scenario is spoken about from Genesis to Revelation. Some say they read the Torah and the prophets, and others say that they really don't realize the laws, the maintenance of all the laws the Most High said through his prophets. Some talk about, they come out old covenant, new covenant. Let me tell you something. There is no new covenant as much as there is a refreshing of what the Most High declared, ultimately because the covenant has always been beyond all the contentions of men unto the one Most High, and if it's not, it's never been faith. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. Scripture says Edom shall be the possession of him who is called Shiloh, Messiah himself, the star of Jacob. You ever stop to consider that what will bring an end to Edom, which will bring an end to our resistance, what will bring an end to those who would be enemies against the attainment of the promise, that scenario? Well, think about it. Whoever would despise what would expose all false rule. What about they are, though they say they are Jews? Did you hear me? Though they say they are Jews whose praise is unto the honor of Yah. And what does the scripture say in Romans? The scripture says the true Jew is one, not one whose praise is from men or unto men, but unto Yah. Knowing that all the Most High has spoken, he should bring to pass, because even if a whole world believe lies, if a whole world fall into unbelief, Yah will yet be true. If a whole world trust in half-truths, seeking to draw conclusions hastily to exalt themselves, Yah will still yet be true to all he has declared. But there are many who say they are Jews, say that they are believers, say that they are faithful. Their praise has not been unto Yah, has not sought the full end of all misrule, has not sought fully what the Most High declares must bring an end to all false rule. Because quite frankly, your leaders, in their contentions for rulership over you, I want you to think about it. Your leaders in contention for rulership over you have not told you that Messiah must prove them all foolish, that one standard be raised. And they've compelled many of my brothers and sisters, just like their rulers. What's the scripture say? And what about the last verses of Jeremiah? The priests teach for hire, the people love to have it so. What will I have to do to bring this, how about this treacherous affair to an end? Revelation 16, 12 through 21. Those of you who might be listening to the show newly or catching it in the archives, I say please go back and listen to the shows, the last few shows. I've went through Revelation 16, 12 to 21 repetitively to relate what must happen. The world be reproved to recognize the will of one. How indeed the scriptures say the Messiah will appear. That scenario that will cause the kings of the earth to run for cover, saying, hide us from the face of the Lamb and him who sits upon the throne, because they've been treacherous against the covenant. It's amazing, my brothers and sisters, how the expected one, according to scriptures, prophetically declared one who comes as a thief in the night, not expected. Could it be because your rulers didn't want you to know what to expect, that you might know to seek beyond them? What's the scripture say? Many say they are Jews and are not, but do lie, but are the synagogue of Satan. That means they are in churches that love fallen standards, which is exactly why the scripture says, seek, again, his perfect work. Revelation 3, 1 through 6, he says, seek what is perfect, ultimately, that you might become wise, lest he come against you with the sword of his mouth, his pure, perfect word, to discern, and that it might be revealed, what indeed has been the nature of the heart. Hard words. But I dare say, my brothers and sisters, many are they who say they are Hebrews. But if he taught them about these things, and I've already tested the waters, many of they, my brothers and sisters, in denominations across this world that claim to be per se Hebrew Israelite, but they're just like Edom, just like the rest of the nations. If you talk about what's necessary for the people to truly be free after the will of one, they would despise it. My brothers and sisters, there's a whole lot of folks who call themselves Hebrew who are, in fact, not only of the synagogue of Satan, but as much as they say they hate Edom, they are Edom. Don't know what I'm talking about. Please read Numbers 24 very closely. Edom and Moab are related as parallels. Most High said there must come an end to all those who resist or be enemies against his righteousness. And it's time we all discern it. Understand that due to the contentions of your rulers, my people, many of you have been made prideful to refuse to discern where you are lacking. Hey, leaders made it their business to comfort you in fallen standards, fatally flatter you, and many of you have loved it. Again, my brothers and sisters, anyone who falls to such treachery, what does the scripture say in Matthew, Micaiah 5:14-24? Is he Messiah? So think not that he came to destroy the law of the prophets, to deny or dishonor the law of the prophets in any way. And he said, ultimately, your rights must exceed that of your contentious rulers. Else you shall not enter the kingdom of Yah. Well, how else shall man enter the kingdom of Yah unless he exceed this folly? I want you to think about it, my brothers and sisters. The end of misrule is the beginning of global peace. All that for one paragraph. Wow. I just tell you now, I got about 20-some-odd points and then paragraphs after that to talk about. I'll try to move through as much of this as I can tonight. And if I don't manage to complete it all, I look forward to the opportunity of speaking more of it in the nights to come. Think about this, my brothers and sisters. When since falling away has this world ever become righteous again? You ever stop to consider the promise of Shiloh, Genesis 49:10-12, relates the idea of the promise of a world made again righteous? If that day has not come that all nations have been regathered seeking the light and the will of one, And since the fact is that it's the end of misrule that that will offer the hope, the beginning of a reign of righteousness and peace, how is it that men think that anything they see in this world, what scriptures say, will not be preserved unto the kingdom of Yah? Why do people think that any of these standards are viable at all? Messiah has to restore righteousness unto salvation. Why do people think that the fallen standards, after the contrivance of men, are still yet viable? What about what the scriptures really mean when they say they will wait for the Lord to renew their strength? Just finally see beyond all those who divide the masses. Do you think anybody in allegiance to any fallen standard contentions one against another? In other words, get the point. You got 10 points. One guy says, I'm cool without number 6. Another one says, I'm cool without number 1. Another one says, I'm cool without number 10. Hey, and they all argue that they're cool in their deficit, that everything's good. You got a great relationship with one Lord. Denying a commandment of the Most High. Do you know how irreverent and blasphemous that is? Men actually think they're favored for so doing. Vast illusion, my brothers and sisters. Tremendous illusion. Must be overcome. Like I say, whence has fallen away to this world have become righteous again? What scripture say in the last days, men will find out they had not sought Yah sufficiently. Psalms 14, Psalms 53. So after most of them say you've been taken away by evildoers. You have to scatter the bones of hypocrites. Looked around and saw none righteous, none doing good, no, not one. Oh, I know some people might turn around and look at that scripture and say, you know, rich man asked Messiah, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Messiah talked about what he was lacking. I remember that. The first thing he said, the man called him good master. Think about it. One who is supposed, he called him good master as if he was whole, complete, and a master. One who was even called master of faith. And Messiah's response, some people might sit back and say, well, you don't have to be good, because even Messiah said he wasn't good. I want you to think again. What does Scripture say when Messiah says none good but one Most High, Yah? Didn't he say that there's some things only the Father knows? But he said those things which he has revealed belong to us and to our children forever, something we have to uphold. And since Messiah is going to judge according to all that's spoken by the prophets since the world began, that means that which is righteous required, as having been the testimony of the prophets, the revelation of the Most High to his people. Yes, every single soul is required to uphold that standard. Well, like I said, the scripture says, Most High looked upon men in the last days and saw none righteous, no, not one, so he had to send a righteous one. That Israel might be, they put down glad. How about saved? How about made whole? How about preserved? Because men finally discern how to repent, and I mean beyond every imperfect standard. The men finally know how to repent, turn back to the Most High, that they seek him in the fullness of his will. Saying that day Israel shall be saved, Israel shall be whole, Israel shall be preserved. Israel shall be glad. Israel shall be blessed. Israel shall be in the name of the Most High, one. Did it say through any other? No, my brothers and sisters, absolutely not. The Apostle Shaul said, even they as apostles should not be considered as masters over men's faith, but stewards who are called to be faithful. Therefore, let no man consider himself wise for the time, because the apostles themselves said, in the case of Shaul, he said, I know nothing which I'm guilty, but I might not be right in this. I might not be right in this. Therefore, let us not judge ourselves so wide before the time till Messiah comes to reveal the hidden things that men have not considered, and even to expose those who hide the truth in the darkness. And then shall every man know to praise Yah. Read 3:18 through 4:5 in 1 Corinthians real close and see what I'm talking about. Ask the Most High, opened your eyes. And understand what how much the Apostle Shaul was speaking about Isaiah 44:20 through 45:6 through 46:13, because men have not known after what to liken Yah. In other words, men have looked at the multitude of fallen standards and considered them sufficient. And after the multitude of contentions that call themselves sufficient, say, men have not learned how to deliver themselves nor see how what they have trusted has been falsehood. So Messiah has to come to prove this falsehood foolish. That he as the shepherd might bring his people out of the darkness into the light and establish Jerusalem upon a firm foundation. Even deliver his people from the ends of the earth. From all the lies that are the treacheries, the indiscriminate debates and doubts, all of men's allegiances to their various nations, and yes, also denominations. I want you to think about it, my brothers and sisters. Ask yourself if a multitude of different so-called representations have not been misrepresentations, especially since only, let's just say, a pure, perfect word only offers one choice. I want you to think about it. Let's think about it, my brothers and sisters. Let's look at this far. The falling away, how is it? In this fallen world, falling away from so much truth, and people indiscriminate, after so many different belief systems. How are men so sure that what they believe is trusted and trusted has been under salvation? Scripture says Messiah comes to prove all the systems of this present age. Salvation, then, it must be by faith. Huh? Faith. Discerning the truth beyond all this, these multitude of different, confusing ideals. Because like I said, none of these systems, the scripture said, is worthy to survive the judgment. Scripture says all their rulers will be running for cover. After a while taken in chains, and after a while punished before all men. Meaning none of these standards are going to be found viable. How do men trust them, my brothers and sisters, and think that after them they are made whole and complete, and Messiah has not yet appeared to fully judge them before all men? So I say, blessed are they who seek him who is promised to come from above. Blessed are they who are called of Yah to await the appearing of the one called Shiloh. The whole world, due to the greed and persuasiveness of carnally contentious rulers, has been, my brothers and sisters, persuaded, many persuaded, to give their very lives seeking false comfort, never knowing it, sold their souls to devils. Because my brothers and sisters, for all their efforts, if at the end of the day only a fallen standard is the result, whose workmanship have they been? Unto whose energies have they given themselves? Blessed are those who will hear these words and know that there's time for a change. Know there's a need to convert, not to uphold partial and polluted standards, but what the scripture says after the spirit would be the teaching and even the refreshing the mind of all things that should never have been forgotten. Again, Revelation 16:12 through 21 is a prophecy that is throughout all the texts from Genesis to Revelation. Dare men say that they need not know of this? Need not know what was the expectation of the early church? Millions murdered to silence such testimony? Like I said, it's amazing that most don't know that the early church did not call themselves Christian. They called themselves Kurdishanya, people who awaited the one called King of the East. And most have no idea who the King of the East is because they have been Christians. A Roman counterfeit. Preserving all the false rule that the one called Shiloh comes to expose. Isn't it time we wake up, my brothers and sisters, to understand the real? Don't know what I'm talking about, like I said. HiddenGospel.com is an article on my website. Early Church Origin, Mutual Expectation, an article called Secret City Prophecies. One called Gospel of Shiloh. Just some good places to start. But believe me, I'm telling you, and those who know me and know me well know I'm not kidding when I say this. Just about any sentence that's on that website, I could probably expand and write chapters and chapters and more pages about every single one. So I try to do what I can to try to relate as much as I can easily on paper. But my brothers and sisters, there's a reason why the scripture says the Holy Spirit comes to teach all things. Help you to see, my brothers and sisters, what the implications of a very powerfully interwoven word. A whole world of the greed and persuasion of carnally contentious rulers, greedy rulers. My brothers and sisters, have denied the world the hope of peace. And it's all according to all scripture. That peace only comes by the subduing of the nations. In other words, when you read scriptures like Isaiah 19, it says Egypt shall be put in the hand of a, what really means a very strong king. I'll deliver Egypt into the hand of a strong king. It really means, my brother says, that's a blessing. When the scripture says Edom shall be its possession, that's actually a blessing. I would say to many, it would actually be a good thing if a lot of folks who just have a hard time getting their attention, if they would just sit down in a position where they just can't do anything else but listen, it would actually be a blessing to them. I think the Most High for what he did to me, I've talked to you sometime before, some of you know what I've talked about before when I related, I remember when first around the time of anointing, how there were times, man, multiple occasions, and it was always on the Shabbat. I find it amazing, but you know, hey, Most God does what he does. But it was like on the Shabbat, and then some of this even time before I even knew what a Shabbat was. Get up in the morning, I try to get up, nope, not going to happen. Back tightened up like I can't even try to describe, all up and down my spine. Couldn't do anything but move my eyelids. Anything else was pain. It was like, today I got to talk to you. You sit there and don't move. It'll be all right. We can talk just fine. You won't feel no pain. But you try to move. Well, just realize it's important that I talk to you today. Because of the blessing. Well, hey, a lot of folks would be good if they had something like that, but all I can say is that after all that has occurred, I'm thankful for it. Truly, I am. Anyway, getting back, like I say, Israel, you ever stop to consider how people are divided today because priests teach for hire and people love to have it so? They want to believe that they don't need to seek any further than what they have. We'll call it sufficient. They want somebody to tell them everything's hunky-dory. They've attained all they need to know. I know when I first saw the magnificence of the kingdom, the Most High has allowed me to see it. When he first showed it to me, I knew what's necessary to preserve such beauty. The man's a truly awesome intelligence, a truly awesome awareness. And I knew I didn't have it. The first thing that came to my mind is I didn't want to mess it up for nobody. I just said, okay, let me look. If I can help somebody who will attain, hey, let me help. I didn't know I was being called to it. Let me tell you something. If the beauty of what the kingdom is to be is not more important to you even than your own soul, you won't be part of it. There has to be a love for what preserves, builds and preserves that absolution, that beauty, that peace. And quite frankly, when scripture says the stone which the builders rejected becomes the chief stone of the corner, I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, what that really means is that all the rulers since the dawn of human fall have built all manner of institution that has ignored the principle that is necessary to bring forth that absolute peace, even that holiness of an eternal kingdom. So, of course, salvation then must be by faith, asking the Most High to reveal the greater truths. Now, all have heard the preaching of that whole word that is the gospel. Many have only heard, my brothers and sisters, what preserves the machinations of man. But faith comes by hearing, my brothers and sisters, then, therefore, a word from Yah. To trust in a multitude of new rulers who are more concerned about their authority. Well, that's only a bunch of folks, my brothers and sisters, who seek to maintain curses, divisions, selfish pride against Yah. See, our weapons are not supposed to be so carnal. How can a carnal weapon eradicate carnality? Our weapons are not to be carnal, but mighty through Yah, the casting down of all these strongholds that stand against, you know, that set up false imaginations that stand against the knowledge of Yah. Didn't the scripture say, when the knowledge of Yah covers the earth as the waters cover the sea, then there will be peace? I think we need to think about that. So I ask a question. Since men have loved so many rulers who hide the truth from them and make them feel everything is all right when so much is so wrong, I have to ask, how many out there who can love a leader who is called to do whatever Yah has deemed necessary to bring forth viably what is peace? What does Scripture say? You've forggotten these things in Isaiah 46, 8 through 13? Remember these things, O you transgressors? Bring them to mind, O you sinners. Most High has already promised that he will bring forth one like a ravenous bird to claim what is his. They will perform all that is divine pleasure. Did everybody forget this, my brothers and sisters? If so, then they've forgotten what was the expectation of the early church. Like I said, Curtis Shania, Kerr, Son, Tish Rise, Shah King, the expectation of the King of the East will expose all unrighteousness to establish Jerusalem. And my brothers and sisters, I, at the point at which he is the one who established Jerusalem upon a firm foundation, remember that he is the one, my brothers and sisters, who will restore his own throne. We're not talking about him sitting on any so-called principle of authority presently that men in their carnality have given themselves to. Who's ready for that great current conversion that's still yet to come? So there must be a subduing of all the rulers. Scripture says, who has called forth this righteous one who will subdue even kings? King should be as dust to his sword, driven stubble to his bow. Who is that righteous one like the rising sun that casts out all the darkness, that reveals the light the world would obscure? Need to check it out in Isaiah 41. Who is that one that will call to his people when the scripture says, in Jerusalem shall be the deliverance to the remnant whom the Most High has called. All who call upon the name of the Most High shall be delivered, but it's to the remnant whom the Most High has called. Who will hear that one who offers the call, saying, listen to me, O isles. Keep silence before me, O you nations. Let my people renew their strength. The Most High is calling from the womb, from the body of my mother, as he made mention of my name. Oh, what's his name? How many have understood what that scripture means when it says, he has made his mouth like a sharp sword? Could that be a name? Servant. Servant of Yah, servant of Israel. You are my servant. Yes, Isaiah 45 says he's the servant of Israel. To bring his people back to him, he's a savior. Could that be a name, my brothers and sisters? So many things that people need to think about. My reward is with the Lord and with my Yah. How many understand? How many understand? How many will understand in due time? Article on my website, Secret Name. You can check it out at hiddengospel.com. I promise you every title that is there is a title encoded in Messiah's name. And then some. I say the day comes when the scriptures talk about the idea about those who call upon the name of the Lord should be delivered. We'll understand that that name is that title of one who comes to perform that service. Who will understand it? Understanding that such a title bearing so much magnificence can only be a work of the Most High himself. Before him, my brothers and sisters, the world entire, scripture said, will be proven foolish, that men might be set free. A whole world and all this will be reprimanded, that at last a world discern the wisdom of Yah. Or dare men believe that they may be what the Most High calls acceptable unto him? Or dare they be content? My brothers and sisters, after what is so much less, do you really think that a multitude of different denominations have taught you all you need to know? If they taught you purely and completely what all needed to be known, my brothers and sisters, there wouldn't be a multitude of different institutions. Like I said, the only righteous ruler is then he who is true to all divine righteousness to bring eternal remembrance of what Yah decreed from the beginning, all of it. That is what is necessary to establish one kingdom that will subdue all the nations, to bring all nations to the will of one rule, that Yah should be pleased. Because no question about it, it is going to occur. The day comes when a great revolution, a revelation revolution is going to come. And no one will discern themselves as safe among the nations. Someone called a few days ago and thought about the idea of everyone running to their own nation. As if the Gentiles would run wherever they are scattered among the nations, like maybe scattered here. I guess they're saying that the Dutch will go back to Holland and the Spaniards will go back to Spain or to Mexico. If there's going to be trouble, and there will be great wrath from Yah upon all nations, how do people run to all their varying nations for safety? No, again, those scriptures talk about Messiah coming. And because he appears and he declares a word that the Most High will enforce, it will be discerned that no one will have peace but those, did you hear me? But those who know to come and follow the Lamb. Wherever and in all things he leads. So it is written, my brothers and sisters, so shall it be done. Like I said, only the end of misrule, the end of this contentious tribulation, is the beginning of salvation and peace. The Most High told me many years ago, I've said it before on this show, Most High told me anytime man is subject to any conscience less than that of Yah himself, it is tribulation, it is injustice, it is not peace. Blessed are they who know that their allegiance should have always been to that eternal kingdom the Most High will establish. And the only kingdom that he's called eternal is the one with breaking pieces all of the kingdoms. No one discerns the ways of that kingdom, but unless Yah reveals himself. Think about it. When the scripture says, Messiah says, listen to me, O isles, hearken to me, O you nations. Most High call me to bring Israel back to him. I want you to discern something. No one, I repeat, absolutely no one discerns the way and the will of Yah. Let Yah himself be the teacher. Did you hear me? Therefore, the day in which Messiah, called by the name of the Most High, appears to reveal what must be revealed, that, my brothers and sisters, is a very, very blessed time for those who are ready to receive it. Like I said, Yah will reinforce the word of righteousness to do all nations. But your leaders have hated this word, that they keep you in bondage, divided, damned, set to the curses of their short-sightedness. What scripture says, curses everyone who does not confirm everything written in the book of the law to do it? Have they taught you everything? Those who listen to this show on a regular basis, I know that I can count, if I had the time, millions of things. Perceptions that it appears that so many have sought to miss. So understand, if you hate the word that would make you whole, have they loved or hated the Savior? I can tell you again, the scripture says the Savior is going to expose whatever men have taught far short of the righteousness of Yah. And only those who are willing to hear that truth and have taught the people to expect that reproof and have sought to discern what needs to be discerned in its time that men might be more prepared, only those will be called as witnesses. Who's ready to understand it? Numbers 24 said he's going to destroy whoever seeks to preserve in any way all the corruptions of these contentious social misorders that men have called nations, denominations, principalities and powers, social, political, and cultural misorder. Sad thing about this politicization. You ever stop to consider there's something very desperately treacherous about them? In a political system such as the one in which we live today, since they want no absolute, they practice agape rather than arba, never design an absolute. Nothing, everything but reproof. Never having an ob love for all, the Most High declared. Isn't it amazing, my brothers and sisters? Isn't it amazing to stop and consider that in a politicization such as this, everything can be called God legally under these systems. Be called a God. Everything can be. As long as it is a fallen standard. Think about it. Just think about it. Like I said, Isaiah 24 to 27, all these scriptures talk about the exposure of all these fallen standards, treacherous at the hands of men. Whereby the kingdom of Yah, I say the kingdom ruled by one king. The standard one king. What is a kingdom? In fact, I have to ask a question. What do people call a kingdom complete? A kingdom is ruled by or dominated by the rule of a king. A king is supposed to function after the anointing of the Most High to teach all things the Most High's decree. After what anointing do these kings function that they despise and are too blind to see the greater truth? I think you need to think about that, my brothers and sisters, that you overcome the marks of these beasts that refuse to reason and be rational. In a world of so many deceitful intentions, what makes people so gullible? Like I said, because the path of told them to think they are righteous before you. Amazing to me. Think they're righteous before Yah because somebody told them so. And it's not the one who bears the seal. They haven't even have no clue of what all they need to be need to understand. They have no clue of what all they've missed. I can only tell you the Most High put a prayer in my heart from very early on in awakening. Tell you what it was. Father, I don't know what I don't know. I don't know what I need to know. I don't know where something's been stuck in my head that as long as I hold on to it is an obstacle against me knowing and against becoming, if you will, a pure vessel unto you. But Father, you know. And I know since you know better than everybody else, if you don't tell me, I won't know. I won't know. I know that something the Most High told me before that spawned that realization. He told me all that is necessary to create a devil if there were none is for man to be left without the inspiration of the Most High. Because nobody sees what is in all things wise unto Yah. Yes, Yah himself be the teacher and the revelator. It's time we understand the truth. Messiah said it himself. Hey, a lot of things I would tell you, but you can't grasp or wouldn't be able to receive them yet. There's a comfort that's come. That means Yah, by his spirit, has to open the mind. And he said, I would petition the Father for the spirit of truth. That means at the end of the day, it is the Father who is the Savior of all. And it says, behold, my servant, my elect, my soul delights, I put my spirit upon him. That he will speak justice. That means Most High will make him just. And the scriptures talk about the idea that Messiah came in Hebrews 5. He offered vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And verily, because of the greatness of his godly fear, he was heard. He didn't understand who, at the end of the day, still the same. But men have thought themselves saved, ready to be preserved, and have no idea oftentimes of how many corruptions are in their minds and their hearts, false doctrines still part of their beliefs, that the Most High says to such untruths, do not pass go, do not enter. Scripture says those who believe lies after this fallen system, 2 Thessalonians, did not say they'd be saved, but damned. Aren't going to be any Grecian horses to the Trojans here. Yeah, I know they call it the Trojan horse. Greeks made it. Yeah. The winner goes to spoil. They tell history like they want to. Come on, people. Catch on. The entire political, economic, religious system is founded upon and therefore dependent upon men's belief in lies. If they didn't believe in lies, they'd know the whole foundation is shot. They know everything that they trusted is on part of infirmity. But Scripture says Messiah comes to expose it all, that the cities and nations fall. Why do they fall? Because they found they have a faulty foundation. And the only foundation that will stand is that truth which must embrace the heart and Messiah's teaching to restore and bring remembrance to all things, because the Scripture says the hour shall wait for his law. When men should know that every system of men they have trusted has been nothing but damnation, man establishing his own standards against the perfect standard of Yah. The Scripture said, no man will buy this worthless merchandise anymore. Read Revelation 18 and understand. That's why it says, come out of all my people, as you become partakers of our sins. Well, our fallen standards. You become partakers of, our plagues. Most High will render wrath against every what? Again, fallen standards. Wake up. Realize the truth and discern the wrath of Yah. Men will seek. And then turn and seek Yah, knowing to know what indeed is repentance. But quite frankly, repentance worthy is not after any partiality or damning standard of men. In fact, repentance unto an imperfect standard is just to remain in some pit of a damning devil. And that day men will know that the foundation of these worthless systems, worldly systems, and all the differences has been lies. So you trust in the foundation of lies, huh? Whose system is that? Partiality against the rights and sovereignty in the name of the One Most High, my brothers and sisters, will never be found viable. I said, no matter partiality, impure, imperfect standard, that would exalt itself against the knowledge of Yah, against the righteous sovereignty of His name, that would misrepresent Him in any way, will earn any favor from him. What does Scripture say in the book of Jude? Let not this double-minded man think he receive anything from Yah. Somebody who's double-minded say, okay, I want some of this, but not some of that. But the Most High says we got to have it all. He said, let no man among the provocations of the nations think that his faith is to be then unto an imperfect work. Shouldn't be exalting any misrepresentation. If you don't know where you've been subject to misrepresentation, you need to ask Yah, count yourself blessed. Blessed if he chooses to give an answer. Because that's the only chance you have. He must answer. You must hear from Yah. Consider the various factions of man run of all this worldly misimagination. Refusing to see the whole truth can only be agreement with others of such also ignorant, slothful, and hypocritically similar. Let's just say of such hypocritically similar factions. But will the Most High agree with any of these partialities? Absolutely not. He cannot call an agreement a covenant that he did not write, a contract he did not write. He cannot call agreement with him something that would blaspheme, insult the wisdom and the majesty of his word. You see, he will not give his glory, or he will not call honorable something after any other. So he must refine his people. The blessed ones are those who were here. In every case, men, wherever men have not discerned obligation in the Shema, become the best possible example they can to the glory of Yah, after all that that the Most High would reveal, and then still seeking more, pleading for more, my brothers and sisters. Wherever men have exalted such standards that tell them they don't need to seek anything more than what they think they know, my brothers and sisters, this has been a treacherous offense. Treacherous offense against the salvation of not only your own soul, but all who have fallen victim to such illusion. One who commits the holy name to the holy name of brothers is obligated in the spirit to seek the fulfillment of all truth. And that is the wisdom that overcomes the world, overcomes every fallen standard. Blessed they will understand. Blessed those who in the election know to be diligent. That's what it says, Second Caper, 1:1-12. It's time to seek beyond all these innate blasphemous curses that insult the greater wisdom of Yah as if it was not necessary. I'm looking at the time. What is it? 24 minutes to so left. A lot of this I might get to, but I need to make sure within the last, at least the last 10 minutes of the show, that close to the last 10 minutes of the show, I go through these scriptures in Hebrews. Trust me. Hang in there. Y'all willing and everything keeps working. We'll get there. Believe me, because it's important that I do. I say, no man obtains the promise who reverently seeks him in the name of the Most High or the name of the Savior. No man attains the promise, but he who reverently seeks in the name of the Savior to seek the full remembrance of all things, all the discipline that is the gospel. Like I said, do you think the gospel was a word suddenly sent by the apostles to the nations? Israel, my brothers and sisters, the word gospel, that's an English word. Basar, basar, basar. The fullness of the word, the good tidings. It's the whole word. It's all that the prophets have spoken. It's all that Israel is obligated to uphold. And my brothers and sisters, since the Most High had a vision from the beginning, everything he has ever said has just been an elaboration upon what he has already foreordained, already foreseen. Everybody should count themselves blessed whenever the Most High reveals more concerning that vision, that men might be all the better prepared. Any institution, therefore, which has denied men the wisdom that's in Isaiah 24-27, Revelation 16:12-21, Revelation 6:12-7:17, 22:16, to understand what must occur. Refusing to discern, help the people to discern beyond the folly of this world. My brothers and sisters, it's just damnable contrivances of an anti-savior, designed that every soul perish for lack of knowledge. None of these all the faith and expectation of the early church, because the early church was named after this expectation. Who will understand and understand? After the treacherous inheritance of the lies of the kings of the earth, all these selfish ambitions and denials exist. Do you think the Most High created any of these institutions to compel men in their pride to despise, deny, and not to expect or know what to look for, what to believe in the coming of one the Most High sends to save his people? These have all been the works of devils, my brothers and sisters, that they have either not known or in hearing will not speak these things. And some of you who listen to this show on a regular basis, and you've listened to Blog Talk for a little while, and not just Blog Talk, but quite a few forums here and there, know that I've been talking about these things on a regular basis. And some of you know I've been talking about these things. Who really know me know I've been talking about these things for 30 years now. Yep, that long. Here and abroad. And again, rulers, knowing that these things forecast the end of their pretense, have chosen not to speak them. A lot of folks on Blog Talk, I come up on a forum or a chat room and type something in or call in about it, hey, it gets cut off. They know exactly what they're doing. Because, they've seen those things pasted in the chat rooms. They've seen the comments that I made. Some of them I've called and spoke to. It's amazing how many times they try to make those words like water off a duck's back and act like they were never spoken. I talked to a lot of pastors who admitted they know these words are there, but they say those are things they speak about privately. Why do they not speak about them publicly? You need to ask that question. Looking at my time here, I'm trying to see if I can hit the major points. What about this one? Okay. I still got to get back to this stuff in Hebrews. I call a lot of these pastors bastards. I call them pastors with a P. And I have good reason. Scripture says those there, these are those who resist the and will not receive or will not accept or will not have the discipline of Yah. Call them bastards and not sons. You need to ask whose sons they are. Like I said, they offer people the hope of peace, while they support a multitude of imperfect, partial standards that cause people only in their pride to raise up into all the more conflict and confusion. Do you think that, my brothers and sisters, is what the Most High gave His Spirit for? You really need to think about it. Like I say, they have despised the appearing of the one for whom the church was named. They've hated that title, King of the East. They've hated the end of this Babylon they've created. And I think so much about these scriptures, like they talk about it, what is it, in Isaiah 56? They're all greedy dogs that cannot bark, unless they threaten their application. Greedy wolves that call themselves shepherds that cannot bark. Isaiah 56, 8 through 57, 1. Greedy dogs that cannot bark lest they expose themselves as the wolves to the very last one of them. And what the scripture says, they will not speak about how righteous men have perished. The righteous men have perished from the earth. And no one even therefore wants to even consider that it's only the righteous man that will escape the wrath that is to come. I mean, the whole world will have to humble itself to recognize the will of Yah again. And only those who will, with the most humblest soul, in the appointed time will awaken. Like I said, it's amazing that the scriptures talk about the expected what will come as a thief in the night. Because men didn't know what to watch for because they were so busy listening to their rulers. Read Isaiah 56, 9 through 57, 1. And realize the scripture said he called them, the people all, this is Messiah's own words, called so many of the sons of the adulterers and the whores because they praised their kings who the whirlwind would take away. The time he had to get the stumbling block out of the way of his people, that those who put their trust in him shall inherit the land and possess his holy mountain. Why did they tell you about that? Because they wish to remain rulers over you. They're in league. Church and state declaring corrupt standards upon which they were established, calling it a foundation. The scripture says they shall all fall. Just how firm are those foundations, brothers and sisters, and how firm is it the thing that they've established upon them? Like I said, not knowing the faith of the early church, Kurdishanya, they expect from the one called the King of the East that in Revelation 16, 12 to 21, Messiah said he is. That he also said he is in Revelation 22:16, when he says, I'm the good and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Again, the one who reveals the light of wisdom that will bring peace to the world. That all nations should gather to him. If all gather under one king, recognizing that all other standards have been wicked or lawless, treacherous. Well, I can see the possibility of peace in that. Well, they didn't want you to know that because they want you to think, think about this. What? Some 45,000 and counting denominations, 280 nations, 45,000 so-called religiosities in the world, and men have called that knowledge. Knowing this. Discretion. How about scripture say my people destroyed, it really means divided, gullible, taken away by deceivers for lack of knowledge. How about for lack of knowledge? Or it's because of lack of knowledge that just been the people have been subject to so many deceivers. Think about it. It's an equation. It's all there. Like I said, that they expected what is not expected has been the treachery of the rulers. None of these partial teachings have been the gospel. These leaders, by application, their job is to comfort the people in their ignorance, acting as obstacles. Then there's so many other ways to sound like Balak, sound like Balak, king of Moab, seeking to keep people from ever attaining to what will liberate the world. It's amazing that Balak called Balaam to pray to the king or the Holy One of Israel that the blessing to the people of Israel not come, that would be a blessing to the world. What about your rulers, O Israel? You don't talk about what Messiah really comes for, that they keep you in bondage. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about it long and hard, because there's a need. Like I said, a polytheistically irreverent society that despises the will of one is filled with and has licensed so many misexamples. Men have not discerned the holy name, have not discerned to prepare true to one righteousness. Not knowing to prepare true to one righteousness. Men have called themselves acceptable after many, as if there were many that could be called the one supreme. What does the Messiah come for? Read Isaiah 45 and 6, that all may know from the rising sun to the west that there's none else but one Holy One, one Savior. And it's under him, under Yah, ultimately, through his Messiah, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear allegiance. When the scripture talks about Messiah, shall be confirmed such authority that the Most High himself says, concerning him, unto him every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear allegiance. Remember, I've said this before. The scriptures say that he comes in those scriptures as a conquering king to expose the unrighteousness of all the rulers. Those same scriptures are used in Romans 14:12. Those same scriptures are related in Philippians 2, concerning Messiah who came before as a suffering servant. Can't you see, my brothers and sisters, who Messiah said that he is? Go back and listen to a few shows. Check out what's written at my website, hiddengospel.com. Understand what the prophecies really mean, because they do relate to Messiah come not once or twice, but at least three times before comes the end of this confusion. Came to deliver Israel out of Babylon 2,600 years ago. I know that sounds strange to a lot of you, but find out who that one is called the King of the East. Isaiah 44:20-45:6. He put down the name Cyrus, but his kingdom was called Kurdistan. Ask why. Check out that article on my website, hiddengospel.com. One called Sunrise, one called Morning Star. Well, Luke 1:78 called Messiah, that self-same one. In Luke 1:78, the father of Yohanan the Baptist. Well, the scripture says that one like Yohanan the Baptist, the one like Eliyahu was to come, prophesied of the coming of the one called the King of the East at Isaiah 40:41. Messiah said that Yohanan was that Eliyahu was to come, that is prophesied at Isaiah 40:41 and in Malachi, really Malachi 3rd and Malachi 4th. So if Yohanan the Baptist is the Eliyahu who was to come, then who is Messiah saying that he is, according to Malachi and Isaiah? Lord whom you seek, the one for whom you should be waiting, one who will expose all the rulers and hide their iniquities in their robes. Isn't it time, my brothers and sisters, we discern the truth and understand what the faith is called, Kardashianya? And it's amazing that the Kurdi is not known by Christians. I've said it before, Christianity is a Roman machination, a total misrepresentation. After that system that made war against the saints who knew the truth, that caused men to worship what that scripture tells what? One who has horns like a lamb and speaks as a dragon? It's all false religion. Who will discern it in his time? they might become wise. Ah, got just enough time, maybe. Y'all willing to say the same? To look at the scripture in Hebrews. Let me see if I can go through it a little bit. See if I can get through this, these verses. I think I might have just enough time. Hebrews 6:11. Saying, we desire that every one of you show the same diligence. Whoa! That every one of you show the same diligence. How about unto the same goal? Unto the full assurance of the hope, even until the end, or unto the goal. Did he say some show a little diligence and some show more? Or did he say all have the same diligence? It sounds to me great diligence. Anybody think it means something otherwise? Hey, the number to call in is 661-554-9212. It says, we desire that every one of you show the same diligence unto the full assurance of the hope, even unto the goal. The goal, my brothers and sisters, what the scripture says in Revelation 3:1-6, I really say 2:26 on to 3:6. Say, hey, seek the whole truth, that you have dominion to rule, help rule, and let's just say, give salvation to the nations. That's really what it means. Seek it, all that is his perfect work, as he come against you with the sword of his mouth, reproving your preference on righteousness. He said that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. The promise, scripture's talking about the promise of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit teaches all things, no lie in it. Should you be rebellious and expect to receive that exceeding wisdom that brings forth the fullness of truth that all should agree with? Shall men's lack of diligence or rebellion or selfish pride because they paid some pastor to tell him everything was all right call him wise because he ignored or never understood what's written in Revelation 16:12-21, so that when that time comes and those things come to pass because he didn't believe, he's not held accountable? Oh, my brothers and sisters, your pastor should have told you this. If they didn't, they preached to you a false religion. Do you really think the kingdom of Yah will be established while all these various kingdoms of the earth continue to stand? He says he's going to bring to pass, according to Daniel 2:44, a kingdom which will break in pieces all other kingdoms. And that kingdom shall stand forever. It says from Jerusalem, the law shall go forth to all the nations, to reprove all nations far off. Then with all the nations will come and say, let's go to the house of the God of the Holy One of Israel, God of Jacob. We will learn of his ways. We'll walk in his paths. Scripture talks about peace in Micah 4. What about scriptures in Zechariah that talk about how 10 men of all the nations, really means many more than that, but 10 men of all the nations will come forth to one who is called a Jew and say, we will go with you, for we've heard that Yah is with you. Like I said, Yah made a promise to Abraham. What did he say to Abraham? Walk after his perfect will. Didn't say part. He said, walk after his perfect will and be a blessing to all nations. That was a promise. Still a conditional upon seeking his perfect will. Yah made a promise to Abraham because he swore by no greater. He swore by himself. How about he swore by the fullness of his righteousness that he would bring to bear his peace. And the word for even peace, my brothers and sisters, in Hebrew relates completion. I want you to think about it. Shalom. Shabbat. Shah. So many of these words, my brothers and sisters, relate peace with Yah. Not because you seek part of his will, but because you seek all. But Yah made a promise to Abraham, saying, because he could swear by no greater. In other words, that means a promise fully kept cannot be according to any lesser standard. He said, surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. Why? Because Abraham proved himself faithful. Faithful even unto the fullness of all his divine intention. There was divine intention. And so after he had patiently endured, how about persevered to seek the fullness of what the Most High requires, he obtained the promise that others should be heirs of Abraham, Abraham's seed. Because Abraham walked by faith. How about brothers and sisters? Abraham was called faithful. He was called a friend of Yah. He sought the fullness of what is divine will, not that he should seek to establish any lesser standard, but what the Most High intends. That would be what is under the kingdom of Yah. You say, for men swear, even men verily swear by what is greater, and an oath of confirmation is to them an end of all strife. You ever stop to consider that seeking the fullness of divine will, then again, is exactly what the scriptures are saying here, it's unto the end of all strife? A confirmation of the fullness of all that is greater, the best possible standard, even all the Most High would declare. That is the end of all strife. Most High is the Holy One who declares the gospel of peace. It's a revelation from him, fully what transcends all offenses. Wherein Yah, willing more abundantly to show the heirs of the promise, the immutability of his counsel, he confirmed it by an oath. But an oath, my brothers and sisters, look at the word oath. It's a continual thing. It does not pass away. Oath. Constancy. Covenant. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for Yah to lie, we might have a strong consolation. How about one ultimate peace and understanding? He swore by his name. He swore by the oath he gave to his servant Abraham. Strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, knowing that all else would be destroyed. But what was true to a covenant? Hey, those who flee for refuge seek for peace in the sanctity of his name, to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters into what is beyond the veil, even if it enters into the Holy of Holies, where only the most faithful priest is allowed, and upon reproof survives, where the forerunner is for us already entered, even Yeshua, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, therefore declaring what is an eternal, everlasting standard. We've talked about these scriptures in Philippians 3:17. The scriptures talk about we must seek always what is greater before us, more of what the Most High would reveal. If we think ourselves perfect, ask the Most High, reveal what we still need to be made perfect, if we only have an open heart to receive him. So he says, there are those, however, who don't like that example. He said, brethren, be followers of me, he said, 3:17, the apostle Shaul said, and mark them who walk, like I said, seeking the fullness of the discipline of Yah, as you had us for an example. He said, for many walk, and he said, not after this example of what it really means. And he said, I now tell you with weeping,
90 seconds,
they're enemies of the stake of Messiah. Messiah said, what? If I do not go in order to make this atonement and faithfulness unto Yah to expose the rulers, the comforter will not come. Why would Most High send his spirit, men still trusting all the fallacy of their rulers, not recognizing that the rulers have been wicked and persecuting a righteous one? He would say, in other words, do you really think he sends his spirit when men still believe
60 seconds.
That the rule of treacherous ones is wise? What does scripture mean when it says, he who has ears, living here with the spirit says to the churches? My brothers and sisters, knowing that the rulers set up obstacles against your understanding, you know you have to seek a greater righteousness than all the multitude of their contentions. That's what Messiah said in Matthew 5:14-24. When you realize that the rulers have lied and hid much truth from you, then will you be truly worthy to receive the spirit, to receive the greater wisdom of Yah without an obstacle. To speak again, my brothers and sisters, got about 20-something seconds left. I thank the Most High for every ear that he brings there. I thank the Most High for the words that he's granted me to speak to his people this night. Like I said, I thank the Most High for every ear that he brings there. And I thank you all for listening.
10 seconds.
To his might, to his honor, and to his praise always, hallelujah! Hey, you can all subscribe. Let folks know to subscribe to this show. that they catch the notations, because I promise you, all things spoken on this show, all desperately do need the praise of Yah. So let it be. So let it be. So be it.